I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. Hope your Saturday is starting off well. It is April the 11th, 2026, and we are live here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show Saturday mornings, talking all things real estate and mortgage-related. The show is hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, Scott Wolmering. I'm Ryan O'Neill with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. You can interrupt us at any point, 612-294-6949 by phone or text, 612-294-6949. Good morning, guys. Good to see you both.
Hey, good morning, Ryan.
Good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like Ryan said, this is Minnesota Real Estate Show. We are live and local downtown Minneapolis. Love your comments during the entire show and questions, 612-294-6949. If you're following us on social media, just write your questions in. We will handle them as they come. It is. I mean, I'm interested actually to find out from Mike what's happening with the double ceasefire. The news of the war. What's happening? Have rates settled back in? Do you think they're going to settle back in? You can definitely feel a little bit of a sigh of relief out there in the market, because there's no doubt that people hit the brakes on when the start of the war, and it just loosened up a little bit, I think, after the announcement came out.
Yeah, it was interesting to kind of watch this week what was going to happen, because there was that deadline that was set.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the day after the deadline, which was what? I think the deadline was Tuesday, so yep. Wednesday was actually a good day in the market, where the market reacted positively to it, and I was like, oh, here we go. Here's our run where we get back down maybe into the high fives. But it was a short-lived deal. It was about a 4 to 5 hour deal, and then the markets pulled back. And we basically ended up exactly where we started at the week. So that really this week was completely flat, right? Yes, there was good news because there's a ceasefire, but it's not like it's done, right? It's just
no one really believes it. I think that's
the thing.
That's what's going on. No one's really buying it right now. They got to wait till the 2 weeks, and then if something gets in writing, there's too much out there that's not real news that is incorrect, but people believe it's correct. So I think everyone's just pulling back.
The can basically just got kicked down the road 2 weeks, right? And then that's really where the rubber's going to meet the road. What's going to happen then? Then our markets will react, you know, to whatever comes out of it.
Where are interest rates, Mike?
We're just hovering right at that 6.25, 6.375. We're steady Eddie right there basically this whole week. And so a lot of people were just locking in. It's like if you got a closing coming up sometime in April here, I would suggest just locking in. I don't think it makes any sense to ride. I just can't see rates really going that much lower. But I can, depending on the news, see rates maybe spiking, right, a quarter or 3/8 or something, depending on what reaction comes up here in a couple of weeks. So if you're taking my recommendation, if you want my advice on that, I would just lock.
Yeah, let's go to a real estate update here. Again, 612-294-6949 is how you can join us in the conversation by phone or text. New listings, there were 12.5% more homes that came on the market this past week, comparing year over year. 1,503 homes in the Twin Cities. Pending sales down almost 13%, 913 pending sales. Overall inventory is up 4%, 8,582. And interesting stat to share, Realtor.com pulled these numbers, and they said that nationally the best time to sell a home is the week of April 12th through the 18th, according to their recent data. And they said an analysis of seasonal trends from 2018 to 2025 shows that this above period was the most favorable conditions for sellers, including above average sales prices, heightened buyer demand, faster market pace, less competition, fewer price reductions. April 12th to the 18th, Scott.
So this next week, so you heard that from Ryan. So this next week is the number one week every year for buying homes. I don't even understand why that is.
Well, again,
why would it be there?
Well, they just said for sellers, the most favorable conditions for sellers, including above average sales prices, heightened buyer demand, faster market pace, less competition, fewer price reductions.
I mean, I can comment on that. Just yesterday alone, I had one buyer House listed at 415, we're going in at 435.
Yep.
Another buyer, house listed at 519, going in at guess what?
5375.
570.
570.
519 listing going in at 570. And that was just two yesterday, right? Yep. And earlier this week, I did see there was a lot of buyers going over list price that I'm working with because it's competitive out there.
Yeah. I mean, it is. But I can tell you that 8,500 homes, that is what? What do you say? 12% above where we were at last year?
Lower, right?
No, no, it's above.
Decreased or increased?
Inventory wise is higher.
Yeah,
yep. Inventory wise,
12%.
No, we're 4% higher.
4%,
and so just slightly higher.
Yeah,
inventory.
So I mean, that's kind of what I feel. I mean, I think this is the second week in a row where we've been, you know, where our inventory is increasing. Now, don't make any mistake about it. 19,000 is balanced, so 8,500 is still a very, very aggressive market. But I can tell you what, in certain price ranges and certain style properties, there's not an aggressive showing activity out there right now. So even though those are going to multiples, I put on a little one for $315,000 that I think we're going to have two offers on it. But if this was a year ago, I'd have had 20 offers on it, literally. And
so why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's some of it that people are – they got excited about the reduction in rates, and then they went back up, so people are holding off. But I've got another upper bracket property that – similar area that I had another one in last year that I had 27 showings in the weekend – and I've had one showing in the first 5 days.
Yeah, I just had a comment, a text message, a biggest mistake a seller can make right now. I think a few things, overpricing. Overpricing is forgetting to do prep work, bringing the property to market, and then also thinking that everything's going to sell quickly. Those are some common mistakes I see, Scott.
Yeah, no, it's exactly it, because even though it's a very, very aggressive market, don't make a mistake that you can just throw any number on a house and it's going to sell. That's not the case. So if you're not at least within range, if you're on the other side of a range and you're just not getting any activity, at least get your, when I say in range, if you're listed at $825,000 instead of $800,000, that's a mistake. Or if you're listed at $510,000 instead of $500,000, I believe that's a mistake. I believe losing that activity and that additional amount of possible offers is never the right move.
We're up against our first break at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. We've got some text messages that have come in as well. We'll hit after the break. 612-294-6949 is how you can join us by phone or text. Hope your weekend's starting off well. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. We've got a number of questions by text to hit. Before we do, just our 1 minute of hope. Scott and Mike, the O'Neill Foundation of Hope, we share a story of someone here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota that we've been fortunate enough to meet and help. This one is our friend Kayla. So Kayla's son suffered a serious strep infection, went into his bloodstream. In the middle of it all, she stepped in to foster her niece and nephew. Soon after this, Kayla was diagnosed with cancer. Between treatments, surgery, missed work, financial strain grew quickly. Yet through this all, she has shown a ton of strength, love, and faith. Thanks to you all and your support of the O'Neill Foundation of Hope, well, we were able to step in with a house payment, giving them a little bit of breathing room during this difficult time. Thanks again to listeners, donors, for helping us bring hope when it's needed most. To get or to give hope, visit O'NeillHope.org, get help. A wonderful gal, young lady, again, bad stuff happening, just a small gesture of love. That's what we try to do each week, is help folks going through a difficult time, Scott.
Yeah, it's like I've said a zillion times, if you are in the giving mood or if you are a giving person and you're looking for a place to send your money where you know it's going to go directly to the people that need it. I mean, obviously, Ryan's a personal friend of mine. I can assure you that every dollar is going to the people that need it, and they are local, and it's 2 to 3 families a week, right?
Yeah, yep.
Two to three families a week. I'd like to say hi to one of my favorite people on the planet.
Yes.
Liz is watching. Liz is my ex. Oh, I don't even know what she'd be. She was my mom's ex-husband's sister-in-law, so she's a relative.
Okay.
Great person. Had some
Ryan.
Ryan's trying to follow this. Not that it matters. But she's had some health issues. And I love Liz because she's got some health issues and just decided to travel. You know, instead of, every time I look at their Facebook, they're somewhere else fun, and she's just a huge personality. So, Liz, I'm glad you're listening to the show, and again, one of my favorite people.
Yeah, taking life carpe diem. Sounds like she's...
Absolutely.
She is Shawshank Redemption.
Get busy living or get busy dying, correct.
Get busy living or get busy dying. Hey, I just wanted to mention, too, in that same spirit, my cousin... So this would be my wife Kathy's uncle. We affectionately call him Uncle Rick Kane. Last night we were in New Ulm, Minnesota, where the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame is. And Rick was inducted into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame. So his wife Jean, their whole family was there. We were there to support Rick, congratulate him. There were six different folks, individuals, groups who were inducted. Last night, a special night, got a lot of good photos. So congratulations, Rick, or as he's known, Uncle. We call him Uncle. Congratulations, Uncle.
Very, very cool. Your life's so different than my life. You spend time at the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame with all these super cool people. I want your life.
Hey,
right.
Hey, we love you no matter what. We do have a lot of questions coming in. Sorry for the delay in getting to them here, but one, this is a good one, guys. Both of you have a lot of experience with new construction. This one says, my wife and I are receiving land from my grandparents, but we're nowhere near ready to begin building. I joke, quote, we can't even buy a shovel to dig a hole to start building, unquote. When it comes time, what would you say are some of the most valuable insights you can share to know about building a home? What are some things often overlooked? Guys, any thoughts?
Oh my gosh, that's a big question. Well, I think yeah, I mean, that's a big question. A lot of times you want to find out how the money's going to flow. So that was the first thing I think about is, okay, you've been gifted this land. Well, the land's going to have value. I'm assuming the land is paid off. And so the land is going to have value. So when you're looking at how are you going to afford to do this new home, you've got an asset moving into it. Let's just use a number. The land's worth $250,000. Well, you have $250,000 of value in the property that you're about to build. That can be used maybe for a smaller down payment, ways to make it affordable because you've already got skin in the game, so to speak. And then when you get to what do you want to build personally, I mean, my gosh, we could talk about that forever. That comes down to what stage of life are you in? Is this your forever home or is this your I'm settling into something a little bit smaller and downsizing? So it just depends. I mean, there's so many avenues to it.
I would say the number one thing is you gotta figure out your budget.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's probably number one, right? Because if the budget's basically unlimited, right, build whatever you want.
That's right.
Right? And pick whatever builder you want, stuff like that. If you're like, look, we got, you know, I need my payment at $2,500 or $3,000 or $3,500 or less per month, well, that's definitely going to steer you down the road that you need to go down versus having this whole, like Scott said, I mean, it's just a big question. Like the options are endless.
Yep.
So start there, figure out your budget. The good thing is, like Scott mentioned, is that the equity in that land can be used as down payment. So in Scott's example, if it's worth $250, you got $250 of equity there, you can get a construction loan with no money out of pocket.
That's right.
And it's just a matter of how much do I need to borrow, right, to build this house that I want to build? What's my payment on it? And then you take off from there.
So if you don't have any money to buy a shovel, you might be able to build a house.
So yeah, just as Mike is saying, kind of budgeting more than the base price. A couple other thoughts, thinking about the layout, guys, over square footage, as far as kind of functionality. Storage, people love storage. I think storage is often underrated. And a couple other thoughts that are maybe overlooked. Don't underbuild the garage. A lot of times, you know, garage is and storage is very important. And then planning for kind of future life changes, thinking about 5 to 10 years from now, more kids, aging parents, work from home. And then be sure to get independent inspections. Be sure to do your own inspection too. Just some overlooked items, I think of.
Yeah, and along those lines, you know, a lot of times when people build, they don't think in terms of having an agent, especially when you own the land. You know, what value does an agent really bring to it if you're just building with a builder? And in some cases, that's true depending on the builder and the relationship you have. I would say this: it is always worth having a real estate agent that's a friend or somebody that can give you advice to not make floor plan mistakes. The biggest mistake that people make is building a house based on only what they want. So, for example, I've used this example on the show a zillion times, but my in-laws built a very expensive house with one sink in their master bedroom. And I said, don't do that. It's going to kill you. And they were just said, we only need one sink. We're never going to use two, blah, 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 blah. When we went to sell that house, they had no ability to put another sink in there because the bathroom was only that size. It absolutely killed them because you couldn't do anything to rectify it. So even for them, they're like, we don't need two sinks. I mean, it must have cost them $75,000 when they sold the house because no one would touch it.
Mike, just some other things, and you know this, having new construction, some other commonly overlooked areas is placement of outlets. That sounds, again, when we talk about in the house, you know, is there a garage freezer outlet? Is where location of outlets, lighting itself, soundproofing, windows, and then builder reputation. Builder reputation being very crucial. It's like anything. Google them, you know, Google or AI them now. Yeah. Find out, you know, who are you dealing with? What is the builder reputation? Not all builders are created equal, like any type of company. And you want someone that's going to be honest, fair, guide you through the process, and get the work done. I mean, there's a lot of horror stories I know of builders either that have gone out of business, people that haven't completed the work. I just talked to someone yesterday who hired a contractor. They didn't complete the work. Yep. Just bad stuff, Mike.
Yeah, the one thing I would say on the money side of things is the initial bid that you get, this is probably going to be a custom or semi-custom build, I would imagine, in this situation, right? Your initial bid, your final price is never going to go lower.
Nope, I always say add 10%.
10%. Yep. Have a 10% buffer cushion there. I guarantee you 99 times out of 100, you're probably going to eat up that 10% just moving along, picking different finishings, picking different this.
If your bid's 900, you're going to spend $1 million. If your bid's $1 million, you're going to spend $1,125,000.
Yep.
It just, you're going to fall in love with a light fixture. You're going to want to move this wall 2 feet. It just happens.
It does.
It always happens across the board. So if you come into it with that mindset, then you're not ticked off the entire process. If you come in with the mindset of this 900 is solid and it's not going to change, you're going to be just miserable in the process because it is going to change.
We work with a great company. Again, if you go to mnrealestateshow.com, you can find all of our partners. One of them is right in this space. James Dill works with a company called the PM Network. Basically, they're home remodeling, additions, a refresh. They do a really, really nice job. James and his company, wonderful folks, honest, fair. James has been on a number of times with us guys, and he's worked all kinds of projects. Again, it's called the PM Network is the name of the company, but they do a nice job, Mike. They really follow up well, high quality as well.
Yeah, I think they take the worst piece of the remodeling process, which is typically communication, right? And they make that almost the best piece of the process. So if you've remodeled before and it was just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know when these people are coming. I don't know when they're going. I don't know when it's going to be done. James completely changes that, and you are up to speed on everything throughout the process.
Yeah, and James was James is often on air with us too. I know today he was ill, not feeling well, so we hope you and your son are back to 100% health soon here. Guys, it's already the halfway point here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We welcome you joining us, 612-294-6949. A lot of different texts coming in. Before we break, guys, Mr. Paul Dokauer has one up north in Moose Lake, 4030 North Road in Moose Lake for $360,000. Scott, this is 77 acres of heavy woods and fun. There's food plots, duck hunting areas. It's a completely remodeled year-round manufactured home on the property. There's a new garage outbuilding, a round driveway area, multi-deck and pergola, in a fire pit area, 77 acres, wow, of heavy woods and fun, $360,000 4030 Northwood in Moose Lake, Minnesota. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome to the second half of the Minnesota Real Estate Show here on WCCO. Appreciate you listening. And another caller that came in. Mike, what was that caller? What was the question there?
Question was, is there an increase in repossessed homes?
Repossessed homes. What do you think, Scott?
Bank foreclosures. We are seeing a little bit of an uptick. I mean, we're not seeing what we saw, obviously, back during the crash for the reasons we were talking about earlier. It's kind of hard if you bought a house in the last 10 years here if you haven't refinanced it multiple times where you would be upside down. So people have equity in their home now where when you go back to 2008, 6, 7, 8, when everything foreclosed, you went from buying a house for $1 million that was then worth $375. You know, we're not in a market like that. But we are seeing some. I mean, I've got some buddies that still do bank owned properties, and they're getting some calls that they've got a few coming up.
Yeah, and we as a company with the Minnesota Real Estate Team, RE/MAX Advantage Plus, we represent a lot of those sellers as well, listing that bank owned inventory. I think a common mistake I see a lot of buyers make on a bank owned property is they think that the bank wants to fire sell it. And the reality of it is the bank has already usually lost a good chunk of money on that. And so by hiring a broker, they want to maximize what they can get on the resale. And so don't assume as a buyer, oh, it's bank owned. That means, Mike, I can get a great deal on it.
Do you guys know what the average cost is for a foreclosure on the bank side of things?
What is it?
I'll take a guess.
I would say that it is $365.
No, like the actual cost to the bank. So bank to foreclose on a property, like what's it going to cost them to go through all the legal process and do this and do that and all the stuff? Any idea?
I would say $40,000.
Ryan?
Yeah, $120,000.
$50,000. Wow. $50,000 is the average cost for a bank to foreclose on a property.
Yeah. So that, and it's hard as a buyer because you think, okay, this is going to be a great deal. The other thing that's frustrating too as a buyer is it may be new on the market. Let's say it's a Saturday today that you write an offer with your agent. Well, you would expect, let's say it's a full price offer. Banks are not open on the weekend. And so you are not going to get a response until Monday on that. And that can also be frustrating as well. And so it's a little bit of a different game. It's important to have a good agent helping you.
I'm actually working right now with someone made an offer on a home that was foreclosed that had an FHA offer on there. So HUD has it back, and it's an agent on Ryan's team here, the Minnesota Real Estate Team. Really good agent, Brandon Capel.
Yeah.
And so the process was, right, you got to submit an offer through their website, and you wait and wait and wait. Then then they come back and say, okay, you got to change this, you got to change that, we need this. Wait, wait, wait some more. They got their offer accepted. Now we're in a 15-day inspection period because, you know, the water wasn't turned on because, you know, there were some issues there and stuff. So it's a slower process. You just got to know that going up front, and you just work your way through it.
God, I hated those days.
Yeah, it's tough.
It was not fun. 2006 through 2011 was just not fun.
Yeah, very difficult. Kind of like we were talking a little bit about short sales, same type of thing. As a buyer's agent, you could write an offer. The seller would accept it, but it was subject to short sale approval. So now as an agent, as a buyer, hey, we got an accepted offer, but now we've got a 6-month process to see if they can negotiate the short sale. So we're in a much better market where people can convey the real estate. The closings can happen. Guys, I just wanted to touch on this too. Speaking of remodeling, Steve McDonald is a longtime agent on the Minnesota Real Estate Team. Wonderful guy. He owns a company called White Birch Design, and the Remodelers Showcase is actually this weekend. There's a total of, Steve said, 34 homes on the tour. White Birch Design's home is number R33, and the address is 527 White Pine Way in Eagan. Steve said, in this project, we remodeled pretty much the entire home, removing a wall that divided the kitchen and the dining room. With a new layout, we added two islands and transformed the entire main floor. The second floor, we did all new flooring, a whole new primary suite bathroom with a new layout, includes a walk-in shower. This showcase tour is this weekend only. and goes from 12 to 6 today and tomorrow. So the Remodeler Showcase. Check out again. It's 527 White Pine Way in Eagan with White Birch Design. Steve's a wonderful, wonderful human.
A great human. And I'll tell you what, just an incredible contractor. Yeah. You know, besides just doing incredible work, absolutely the last honest guy in Minnesota, I swear to God. I mean, he's just a really a top-notch guy. So if you're looking to do any kind of remodeling, you could do way, way worse than reaching out to Steve.
And I'm pretty sure Steve's company there has won several awards along the years as well for design, for different things. So not only is he a great guy, he's got those awards to back him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was an interesting question. It just says, hey, guys, if I go on to Zillow, am I getting a hold of the agent that's representing the property itself? If I'm going on Zillow for a tour, Scott?
Probably not, and that's going to be my answer, probably not, because it depends on the agreement that sell or that listing agent has with Zillow. You can pay to be, I forgot the terms now, I am one, preferred Zillow guy or whatever they call it, which means if somebody is inquiring on my listing, it comes to me directly. But the majority of them are handed out as a lead to whoever's in their system. And so it is important when you're listing a home, we talk about things to look for. That's a good question to ask. If somebody inquires on my home online, who are they getting? Are they getting you or are they getting Joe Blow that is with another company?
Yeah, and there's a lot of different ways. We as a team, the Minnesota real estate team, so we obviously work with a number of sellers, but we also do work with Zillow. So for example, every month we get a large number of customers who are going on to Zillow all throughout Minnesota and western Wisconsin, and they're looking to buy a home. So we're then driving out to meet those folks, show homes, explain the process, agency, etc. So it's something that we do on the team as well, but it is an important, Mike, it's an important piece just to know who, you know, kind of know who's representing who. How does this work?
Yep. And I know you hit it on the nail on the head, Scott. I think they call it the Zillow Guy program is what it is. They
Zillow
call
Guy,
it,
yes. Zillow well, Guy. Technical yep. term, yes.
Yeah.
Very technical. Ryan, you know what? You know what's coming up this week?
It's the Big Birding Festival.
Birding Festival?
Yeah, there's a birding thing happening.
Where is that?
I think it's out west.
It's in the desert somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's tax day, April 15th.
Well, you can tell where Ryan's head is. Oh, there's the Birding Festival,
yeah.
Where we all do makawaska and whatever.
Taxes, that was months ago.
Yeah, that's
right. I don't even think about that.
That sounds kind of weird, though. What's involved with this? Is this with the Birding Festival?
No, the bird. Like,
oh,
you know,
bird.
Oh, I thought it was the burning.
No, bird. Like a bird, like a, with wings and beaks and whatnot. Yeah.
What's the other word for birds?
It's ornithology.
Wow.
Huh?
See, he's a smart guy.
Huh?
This guy is.
What do you think?
Right.
Ornithology. I don't even know. That is a word I don't know.
You're an ornithologist.
I do have a bird book. I have a bird feeder. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, taxes, right? You know, how about them taxes? What the hell? They're too high. Yeah.
Speaking of birds, I thought this was very nice. I have a friend who is blind and was talking to her. She loves birds because of the sounds, all the different sounds that they make. And so we were talking about that, the 6, 8, 10 different sounds. I thought that was very interesting. Being blind, but then, you know, knowing, okay, what's a blue jay? Okay, what's a crow? Obviously, what's, you know, all these different ones.
Based on sound. You know, that is an interesting, it's an interesting question. I had a couple clients that were blind once, and when you've got no frame of reference, so they don't know what a bird looks like. So they know the sound that they like, but of course cannot describe what a bird would look like. It's such an unusual mind thought to have to not, you know, not be able to describe one because you've obviously never seen it.
Mike, you're thinking he's...
Ryan dances around those, like, that could be dangerous if we go down the blind thing too far.
No, actually, not to go on a tangent, but here's the other thought I had, too. So this is just a wonderful couple that we have met through church who is also trying to seek employment, is out of college, and it's amazing to me how many employers, large employers, are not set up to work with...
To accommodate.
Yeah, to accommodate. It's been unbelievable to me with some of these Fortune 500 companies that admittedly, kind of through our work and help with them, have said, look, we're just not set up. So it's, I don't know, not to go on a random tangent, but it's it puts things in perspective a little bit when we think we have life hard.
Yeah, because I've been on the sidelines with this Ryan, because he's Ryan. Every time I talk to him in the evening, what are you doing? Oh, I'm driving. What are their names again?
Avi and Pablo,
who are both blind, and he's driving them to church and back home and whatever else, which is just, that's just, when people say, aren't you more like Ryan? That's what they mean.
Yeah. They're sweethearts, so, but it does make me think about, you know what I mean? I think it's a good awareness thing. When we think we have life hard sometimes, you know, sometimes just see all the different things people are carrying.
Puts in perspective.
Yeah, puts things in perspective. So, Ryan, there's your ornithology tangent.
Well, thank you. I really, really didn't know I needed that today.
Hey, it is our final break. We're at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Appreciate you joining us. 612-294-6949. Talking all things real estate, mortgage related. We've got some other texts that have come in. Luminate Bank, again, they're local. They have a savings account. What is it paying out, Mike? 3.25%?
I think it's 3.5.
3.5%. They're a local bank. A lot of people have taken advantage of that checking account or savings account program.
Yep, and we have a closing cost program, too. If you're doing a mortgage loan with us and you open a checking or savings account with us and slide $2,500 or more over, we'll give you $400 off your closing costs. If you open an account with us and slide $100,000 or more over, we'll give you $1,000 off your closing costs.
Nice.
Wow. Super cool. Yeah, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, 612-294-6949. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Hope your weekend's going well. One other listing, David Meyer has one in Andover for $550,000. This is a 5-bed, 3-bath, 3-car garage home, 3,200 finished square feet. It's got a main level designed for everyday living. He said a screened-in porch extends the living space outdoors. You've got the upstairs primary suite, offers a private ensuite bath, 3 great bedrooms, full bathroom, lower level, more flexibility with a 5th bedroom, space for a home office, gym. The backyard has privacy with no rear neighbors, a gated fence at the back of the lot. Very nice property, 3118 119th Avenue Northwest in Andover for $550,000. Scott, the other one is Bill Ebert. Talk about a wonderful human. Bill had a big birthday yesterday. You can always tell on Facebook. He gets a ton of Facebook love. Everybody loves Bill, Scott.
Oh, he's the sweetest guy on the planet next to Ryan.
Yeah, Bill is a wonderful human. Had a big birthday. Happy birthday, Bill. But he's got a listing in Balsam, Wisconsin, 1811 A State Highway number 46 for $379,900. It is a home, lots of upgrades, newer roof, gutters, HVAC system, 2 beds and a bathroom on both the upper and the lower levels, new stainless steel appliances. There's a 35x60 pole barn. It's a hobbyist or outdoor person's dream. It has a concrete slab, full electricity, 14 side walls, and there's a 12x12 overhead door. Provides storage for boats, multi-season toys, outdoor toys, walkout lower level of the home. It's on 2.85 acres. It's got an outside RV pad with plug-ins, too. That's 1811 A State Highway 46 in Balsam, Wisconsin, Scott.
Very nice. I've got one, just went on the market yesterday, Friday, so today's the second day on. It is 16461 Equestrian Trail in Lakeville. It's Lakeville, but it's actually District 196 School District. It is a 3-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler built by Robert Thomas, one of my favorite builders south of the river. It is in an area called Spirits, which is a neighborhood, kind of Lakeville, Apple Valley. Very cool barn, clubhouse, pools, walking trails, awesome location. Listed at $690,000. Hard to find Rambler, built in 2007. Great property. Come and see it. 16461 Equestrian Trail in Lakeville.
Mike, question was, is there a place to directly advertise to house flippers, not the, quote, we buy crappy houses people, unquote, but others that are looking for a fixer-upper? Do realtors have a contact list of those types of buyers? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well, realtors got contact lists of people that work with a lot of those kind of buyers. But it's probably one of the things that are they're most misunderstood. If you have a property that is in need of repair, let's say, a lot of times people think that they're better off fixing it all up, putting all the money in to get it fixed up. In the majority of the time, you're actually better off selling it to investors. There's not a lot of investor opportunities for purchases, fix and flip right now because it's such an aggressive market. So if you have one that the numbers work, it will blow up. I had one last year in Bloomington. We had 30 offers on it, and it hadn't been touched in 40 years. And it needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can do that.
The other point to the question is that agents, so each real estate brokerage has the ability to, when they have listings that are called withheld listings, that are not necessarily, they are not on the MLS, but through the rules, the real estate rules, you can advertise that to agents only at your brokerage. So if you're working with a buyer's agent, with a team, with a company that carries a lot of listing inventory, there can be benefit for you as a buyer. For example, with, again, maybe a larger team, a successful organization that's got a lot of sellers, there's benefit with that. We obviously do have a withheld list as well. But again, with the MLS rules and now it is, we can't share that with everyone. Those are withheld listings. All the big companies, all of our friends in town have that. The Edina Realties, the Coldwell Bankers, they all have their internal network, guys. Mike, I know you got another question, too, about taxes.
Yeah, capital gains tax, as long as we're talking about tax season, yeah. Right? Sounds like there was a capital gains tax question that came in.
Yeah, this one says, if selling a rental property, capital gains tax. I'll find it. You saw it, Mike.
Yeah, I think if it's selling a rental property, how do the capital gains tax taxes work on the state and federal? There's short-term and long-term. I kind of just Googled it here just to make sure I was on the right page here. But there's short-term and long-term capital gains tax. In Minnesota, basically, depending on your income level, you're going to be between 5% and 10% tax on that on the federal level. If it's a long-term capital gain, which means it's an asset that you've held for longer than a year, you're going to either pay 0%, 15%, or 30%, depending on your income level. And then if it's a short-term capital gains, you can pay taxes all the way up to 37%.
Yeah,
which is why we don't talk about this a lot, but 1031 exchange.
Yep.
So if you are an investor and you have a property like Mike was just going through where you're going to have a substantial gain, you can do a 1031 exchange, which is taking, so you sell that property, you take the proceeds of that property and you put it into exchange account, so you don't touch it, and then you identify another property that's similar. So let's say you're going from a duplex to a fourplex or a sixplex. So you take your $200,000 worth of revenue that you made on that property, you roll it into the next property, you pay no taxes on that. Professor 1031 that we used to have on air would always say, you exchange, and then you die.
Yeah, yep. It's a way to keep deferring and avoiding the tax. Hey, guys, I wanted to shout out my dear sister Mary often listens to the show. She bought the home that we grew up in down in New Prague, and she's run a daycare. It's called ABC Daycare down in New Prague. And I saw Mary put up a Facebook post saying that she's looking to add a few more friends, age 2 and up, to our crew, part-time and full-time schedules considered, anytime after June 1st. ABC Daycare offers the food program. Anyway, as I was looking at Mary's post, she has so many comments of the parents over the last 35 years, I forget the number that Mary has done this, just wonderful comments about my dear sister Mary. And so Mary, lots of love to you and Doug. It's just really cool to see all the families that she has touched through that hard work. And my dad used to always go over there and say, gosh, Mary works hard every day, 8 to 10 kids a day. Long days. God bless you, Mayor. That's a you're a saint.
Yeah, Mary's incredible. And I used to own three daycare centers, three preschools, three corporate daycare centers. And let me tell you, there is a slice of heaven for all of the daycare workers. I used to have women come in and say, I said, well, why do you want to work in a daycare? And they say, oh, I love kids. Has nothing to do with it. Loving one or two kids has nothing to do with having 25 toddlers in a room. It is a labor of love. So good for Mary.
I got a question for you, Scott.
Hey, we got only 30 seconds. Okay.
Would you rather have every deal of yours be a short sale negotiation or be the main guy running another daycare?
I'll do short sales all day long.
Hey, good one, Mike. Hey, Mike Overson, Luminate Bank. Reach out to him and his team. They're wonderful folks, great organization. We appreciate you joining us at the Minnesota Real Estate Show every Saturday. Reach out if we can help you and your family in any way. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.